Welcome to day 50 of our 180-day study through the Westminster Standards. We're in the subject of sanctification, which is chapter 13 in the Westminster Confession. But having looked at justification, let's look at Larger Catechism question 77, which asks, wherein do justification and sanctification differ? The answer, although sanctification be inseparably joined with justification, yet they differ. In that God in justification imputeth the righteousness of Christ, in sanctification of his Spirit infuseth grace, and enableth to the exercise thereof. In the former sin is pardoned, in the other it is subdued. The one doth equally free all believers from the revenging wrath of God, and that perfectly in this life, that they never fall into condemnation. The other is neither equal in all, nor in this life perfect in any, but growing up to perfection. So let's look at the proof texts. First, for the phrase that although sanctification be inseparably joined with justification, and remember yesterday we saw that in some cases sanctification is almost the same or identical in time, a definitive setting apart, which is what the word sanctify means, where God definitively sets us apart. But then there's also sanctification as a work or a progressive sanctification. But in any case, progressive sanctification or definitive sanctification, both are inseparably joined with justification. And that, according to the Catechism, is seen in 1 Corinthians 6:1. And such were some of you, but you are washed. 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him ye are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Though inseparably joined, yet sanctification and justification differ, in that God in justification imputes the righteousness of Christ, in sanctification of his Spirit infuseth grace and enableth to the exercise thereof. So first, that justification imputeth the righteousness of Christ. Of course, we've seen that before, Romans 4:6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. But then, in sanctification of his Spirit infuseth grace and enableth to the exercise thereof. Ezekiel 36:27, and I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. In the former sin is pardoned, in the other it is subdued. Looking first at the pardon of sin, Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. But in sanctification, sin is subdued. Romans 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. The one, justification, doth equally free all believers from the revenging wrath of God, and that perfectly in this life, that they never fall into condemnation. Romans 8:33-34, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. But in sanctification, it is neither equal in all, nor in this life perfect in any. We'll say first, not equal in all. And here we have the paragraph in 1 John 2, where he describes the different degrees of growth. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you've overcome the wicked one. Another verse showing that sanctification is not equal in all, Hebrews 5:12-14, For when the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth unto them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So sanctification is not equal in all, nor in this life perfect in any. 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. That is, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. But growing up to perfection. Here again, the concept of progressive sanctification. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Philippians 3:12-14, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now let's go to the confession of faith. We're in chapter 13 of justification, and we're looking at section 2 and section 3. Section 2 says, this sanctification is throughout in the whole man, yet imperfect in this life, there abiding still some remnants of corruption in every part. Whence arises a continual and irreconcilable war, the flesh lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. The first phrase, sanctification is throughout, in the whole man, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, imperfect in this life, there abiding still some remnants of corruption in every part. 1 John 1:10, again, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Romans 7, which as we've seen in previous lessons, is controversial. Many theologians believe that Paul in Romans 7 is describing his life before conversion. But the confession disagrees with that interpretation and has as a proof text here for the claim that there abides still some remnants of corruption in every part. Romans 7:18, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Philippians 3:12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. And finally, because of the remnants of corruption in every part, there arises a continual and irreconcilable war, the flesh lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. 1 Peter 2:11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. The confession emphasizes that phrase, which war against the soul. And I think if you look at Galatians 5, starting at verse 16 to the end, and 1 Peter, beginning the first part up to verse 11, you'll see that the message is perhaps more positive than you have here in this second section of the confession. That is to say, don't let this be self-fulfilling prophecy that you're going to die. I mean, you're going to lose the war, because everywhere these verses are actually encouraging you to fight the war and to pursue that to perfect holiness. So let's go to section 3 to see some optimism. In which war, that is this this war mentioned in section 2, the war of the flesh lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, although the remaining corruption for a time may much prevail, yet through the continual supply of strength from the sanctifying Spirit of Christ, the regenerate part does overcome. And so the saints grow in grace, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And saints there not in the sense of the superhuman, supernatural, above all ordinary people, saints like in the funny pictures, but ordinary, those who have been sanctified. They're from the same root word, those who are elect, those who have been effectually called, and those whose hearts have been renewed. So, the first phrase, although the remaining corruption for a time may much prevail. Again, Romans 7:23, which we just looked at. I see another war in my members, bringing me into captivity. Yet, through the continual supply of strength from the sanctifying Spirit of Christ, the regenerate part does overcome. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law but under grace. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And so the saints grow in grace. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3:8, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And therefore, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I think we're going to have to call it quits for today. We're about 12 minutes into our lesson. I like to keep these 10 minutes or thereabouts. So tomorrow we'll come back and we'll ask the question, whence ariseth the imperfection of sanctification in believers? That's question 78 from the larger catechism. And then the shorter catechism, what are the benefits which in this life do accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification?